From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today's speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled, Christ with His People in the House of Affliction. The text is the familiar account in John chapter 11 of the raising of Lazarus. As this message will demonstrate, while He was on this earth, the Lord Jesus was preeminently the man of sorrows, and He always comes to His people in their hour of affliction. First, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns takes advantage of this particular day to speak of St. Patrick, Ireland's first Protestant.
This is March 17, so happy St. Patrick's Day. You know, there was an actual St. Patrick. Unlike many of the alleged saints who lived in ancient times or in the Dark Ages, St. Patrick was a real person. Today he's thought of as the patron saint of Ireland. Now, I hail from Ireland, and that makes Patrick of special interest to me. Of course, he's not a patron saint of anywhere. There's no such thing as a patron saint. The Bible knows nothing at all about such beings, and the notion that they exist grows out of the pagan ideas that crept into professed Christianity. However, though Patrick was never a patron saint, he was a real man and a real saint in the biblical sense of the word. Scholars dispute about where Patrick was born. He said that he was born and raised in Britain. Unfortunately, it's almost impossible to be certain as to precisely where he meant. France claims him. Remember that we still have a Brittany in France. Scotland claims him, and its claims may be superior to those of any other place. His father was a churchman, and he grew up herding his father's sheep until one day he was stolen away by a bunch of marauders who took him to Ireland, where he lived as a slave. There on the lonely slopes of Slemish Mountain, which is in the northern county of Antrim, some believe the mountain in question is the one now known as Croagh Patrick, Ireland's so-called Holy Mount, the young slave boy came into a real, personal and living faith in Christ. Finally, he managed to escape and make his way home, but his engagement with Ireland was just beginning. God gave him a strange dream, something like the vision he gave Paul concerning the man from Macedonia. In his dream, Patrick felt God calling him to return to the dark, misty and bog-ridden land of Ireland with its wild people and its endless dangers to win its pagan inhabitants for Christ. Patrick obeyed. His own confession tells the story of his conversion and gives us a brief but profound insight into his beliefs. He confessed himself a sinner and threw himself on God's mercy in Christ. He was never commissioned by a pope or by the papal church. He went to Ireland without episcopal ordination, as a man sent from God with a burden to preach Christ to the heathen Irish. What he preached was the gospel of saving grace, and God powerfully blessed his ministry. He moved all over the country and witnessed both to chieftains and serfs. He founded hundreds of churches. And the interesting thing is that those churches were not set up after the fashion of Romish churches. The Patrick of papal mythology never existed. The medieval histories, so-called, of his life and work were inventions through which Rome sought to hijack a ministry that had been conducted entirely without any sanction from Rome or its bishops. There was good reason for Rome's effort. The churches that Patrick founded were among the very last in Europe to bow to the supremacy of the Pope. Indeed, not until Adrian IV gave Ireland to the King of England so that he might subjugate it and bring it into the papal fold. But by that time, Patrick had been dead for almost a millennium. Thank God it was not popery, but the gospel of free grace that Patrick brought to Ireland. Today, on St. Patrick's Day, we salute his memory. In the truest sense, he was Ireland's spiritual father. Indeed, you could say he was Ireland's first Protestant.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we're going to commence reading somewhat into the chapter at verse 17 and reading through to the end of verse 46. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, that is Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. I have extracted this passage for reading out of a very much longer passage, the entire 11th chapter of John, and indeed the first part of John chapter 12, along with a passage in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. The common theme of all those passages is the place called Bethany. Bethany is one of those places that was very appropriately named. Contrary to what some of your Bible dictionaries are so confident in telling you, most of them will say it means house of dates or house of figs. To be honest, I cannot really find any adequate ground for that confident notion. Contrary to that, Bethany simply means the house of affliction, or the house of lamentation or sorrow. And it's interesting that in Bethany, the Lord Jesus Christ encountered many of the sorrowful fruits of sin in the world, very deep troubles that did not spare even his own choicest disciples. There in Bethany, the Lord Jesus knew that there lived one of his most beloved families, the family of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, and yet a family that was plunged into the depths of mourning at the sudden death of Lazarus. There in Bethany, there was the house of Simon the leper. That is, a man who had once suffered all the personal, physical, emotional, and social distresses that that awful plague always brought. No doubt by this time, Simon had been healed of the plague of leprosy. I personally believe, almost certainly, by the Lord Jesus himself. One of those mentioned, but really, as far as the details go, unrecorded miracles to which John makes reference in the 20th chapter of this gospel. And there in Bethany, in the face of the most glorious manifestation of the Savior's deity and omnipotence, we meet two of the, I think, some ways most unexpected, and yet the more you know human nature, I would say the most expected, manifestations of the bitter depravity of the heart of man. First, when, as we read in John 12 and again in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, a woman came and anointed the feet and then the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was carping criticism from Judas Iscariot and then from all of Christ's disciples. Now remember, this is soon after they had all stood around that grave, that cave. They had seen the stone rolled away. They had heard the mighty voice of Christ commanding the dead to come forth. They had stood there witnessing a dead man coming forth, not walking forth, not striding forth. He couldn't walk. He was bound hand and foot with the tight bandaging of grave clothes. He couldn't even see where he was going. His head was swathed about with the headcloth of the grave clothes. But yet, at the mighty command of Christ, he came forth. They saw this. And they criticized his anointing. And even more do we see the depravity of the human heart when we recognize that many of the Jews who saw what Jesus did, while others were being moved to believe in him, turned to betray him to the Pharisees to tell them what was going on. And the motive in all that was to seek to have him silenced and slain. These are some of the manifestations of what took place in Bethany. So from many points of view, Bethany was indeed the house of affliction. And yet, isn't it interesting that while our Savior is never recorded as ever having spent even a single night in the city of Jerusalem, every night during that last week prior to his death, he journeyed from Jerusalem and he spent the night in Bethany, the house of affliction. And I think that beyond the obvious reason that there his beloved friends resided, I think that there is a wonderful lesson for us all. Our Savior is preeminently the man of sorrows, the one who was acquainted with grief. And there is always a tremendous encouragement to the people of God that He never fails to come to His people when they are in affliction. I think it was Joseph Parker, the great English preacher of the 1800s, who said that he who preaches on broken hearts will never be out of date. Certainly our Savior came to His people in the house of affliction.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.